Smashing Pumpkins at the Forum, November 12th. We've got your tickets coming up in less than an hour on K-Rock. It is world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. It's Kevin Ryder in the afternoon. Got People Are Dumb today coming up. Two Americans were arrested at Punch the Monkey's Cage, and they jumped in a, I think, a monkey suit? Not sure. Who's Naked Now coming up on the show? We have the 420 catch of the day. What would you do if you ordered an urn and it showed up at your house full of ashes? That seems bad. And in the 5 o'clock hour, we've got the Smashing Pumpkins at the Forum. He tried to say Smashing Pumpkins at the Forum, November 12th. K-Rock, hello.
Hey, what's up, Kevin?
What's happening?
Winning.
You're not wrong. You're just maybe less than right.
More chances for you to win tickets for the Smashing Pumpkins at the Kia Forum on November 12th. On the way on K-Rock.
A local family ordered a set of urns through Amazon for their loved one, but they say when they arrived,
you'll never believe how wrong that story ends. Details coming up on K-Rock. This story happened in Southern California.
A local family ordered a set of urns through Amazon for their loved one, but they say when they arrived,
what could be wrong? It was broken? It was broken during shipping?
One of them appeared to have human remains already inside.
I have never heard of this happening, and at such a troubled time in their lives.
For a grieving family, this urn was supposed to help honor their grandfather's memory. Instead, they say it opened a heartbreaking mystery.
How did they receive an urn that was full of ashes?
I've never seen human remains myself like that.
The family ordered several urns through Amazon after their grandfather passed away and was cremated.
Oh, they bought them through Amazon. Several urns.
But when they inspected one of the urns that arrived, they made a gruesome discovery.
One of the urns had ashes in it, and my grandmother was confused and asked my mom, why does this urn already have ashes in it? Did you order pre-filled? And
wait, you could order a pre-filled urn? Or is he's joking. All right.
Shocked and concerned, the family immediately contacted Amazon customer service, hoping the company could help determine where the remains came from and how they could be reunited with the proper family.
This is not your typical return situation. Press 6 if you have a full urn that you didn't order.
Amazon wasn't working with us at all. They just wanted to give us a refund and stop right there.
A refund? That urn has someone in it.
In one message, a customer service representative told the family a $19.99 promotional credit and told them you can keep or get rid of the item.
Dude, the item is a person inside an urn, I would assume. Don't they want it back to find out who it belonged to?
The family says they repeatedly tried to explain this was not a simple return.
If it's something that's used, yeah, you can send it back and get a new one. And it's not just used. This could be someone's part of someone's loved one that they're missing. We never know if someone could have an empty urn that they're talking to, thinking that their loved one is there, but they're actually not.
The company sent us a statement saying, we appreciate ABC7 for bringing this to our attention, and we've apologized to the customer. Culbertson says Amazon told him the urn came through a third-party seller, and they're contacting them to figure out if this was a return or some type of error.
I mean, either way, I feel like the family wants to ship it to someone so that it can get back to their family.
They now have a team trying to figure out how to treat the ashes with dignity.
I even told her we don't want this to send them back to you and be sitting in a warehouse. We want answers. We want them returned to the family.
That's actually quite thoughtful in a terrible moment.
Culbertson says the company told him they will do that, and they will also offer training to the employees involved and put in a procedure in case something like this happens again.
Yeehaw! Nope, wrong story. We have your tickets to see Smashing Pumpkins at the Kia Forum on November 12th. Coming up in about 5 minutes on K-Rock. K-Rock, hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Joe.
Hey, Joe, you win.
Oh, nice. Yep. Thank you.
November 12th, you will be seeing Smashing Pumpkins at the Kia Forum.
Oh, that's amazing. Thanks, Kevin Ryder.
You are welcome. Have a great time. This coming weekend is Memorial Day weekend, which means the big movies come out. And this weekend, The Mandalorian and Grogu comes out. Very excited about that. I love every single Star Wars movie when it comes out. Some of them don't measure up, but I still love them. But I know I'm in the minority there, but this happened at Disneyland.
Pedro Pascal, star of The Mandalorian and Grogu, making a surprise appearance at Disneyland this weekend.
This is pretty cool because you see a Mandalorian walking down. He's got a helmet on. You don't for a second think it's the actual star of the movie.
The actor donning the armor of the Mandalorian and put on the helmet. As guests entered the ride, Pascal took off the mask to reveal himself with lots of gasps and screams from the guests.
You know that there were people that were riding the ride because it's a ride at Disneyland, but they didn't necessarily know the Mandalorian show. They had no idea who he was.
He took time to speak with some of the guests and take pictures.
Like being at Disneyland isn't good enough. They actually stepped it up a notch.
He was later seen enjoying a show at Galaxy's Edge along with co-star Sigourney Weaver, director Jon Favreau, and creator Dave Filoni.
He's a delight.
Very cool.
He's a delight.
Who says he's a delight? I don't think I've ever said that in my life.
He's a delight.
Very cool.
He's a delight.
I'm pretty sure the people that made The Mandalorian are not going for, he's a delight.
Why do you gotta be so insensitive all the time?
About an hour from right now, we have the 420 catch of the day, the new music feature, and we have the band that performs it in studio as well.
There is new drama involving the very viral Punch the Monkey in Japan.
Animal Stories is next on K-Rock. Kevin Ryder in the afternoon with the 420 catch of the day on the way with these gentlemen, Cigarettes After Sex. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
How are you?
Yeah, doing pretty good. How
you doing? Randall, you?
Doing fantastic.
Doing well? I couldn't love the name of your band more.
That's great. I'm glad.
And I've heard you explain it, but would you mind explaining it for people who don't know?
Yeah, it's always hard to tell the story to get it, like, concise. It's, like the one thing I was going to ask about, because it kind of just boils down to, you know, I had a girl that was like a friends with benefits kind of situation, and she would always smoke after we were.
Yeah. And you were like, I love that moment.
And I just, yeah, like we were sharing that moment, and the name just like kind of flashed across my mind for some reason. So,
that's pretty great.
Yeah.
You guys don't rock much.
No.
You do very moody music, which I love. Yeah. What's that?
Said soft rock.
Hard ballads.
You started in Texas? El Paso?
Yeah, El Paso.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And then you moved to New York?
Yeah, moved to Brooklyn.
How did you meet Randall?
Well, you met Jake first, right? Because...
Yeah. If you can believe it, I was in a funk band with our drummer from Cigarettes, Jacob Tomsky, and I was playing funk bass in this band with him, and he was playing drums. And then I met Randall through that friend group. And then I heard them play, Jake and Randy were had like this country band, and I heard them play together, and I was like, these guys sound great, let me get them for Cigarettes.
So, I'm sorry, I thought you said funk.
It was funk, yeah.
Greg is an incredible bass player.
Is that right?
Yeah, he can play anything.
What was your favorite funk song to play?
Yeah, that's it. Like The Meters, like Sissy Strut or something. Yeah.
I love that. You also played in a cover band when you were younger, and it was like metal?
Yeah, I mean, like, no, I played like me and I think me and Randall have done like every kind of style, huh?
Pretty much,
you can
yeah.
imagine. Yeah, so like I was a metal kid, like, and I was writing like I think the first album I ever did as a kid when I was 11 was like a death metal instrumental record. And so I had like that phase. And you just keep getting into more stuff and more stuff, and but I think we all played in cover bands to just get paid sometimes,
pay the bills, yeah,
yeah, just meet other people or whatever.
How did you come up with your sound?
That took a long time because yeah, like. Like I was saying, we just love so much different music, so it could have been anything.
Right.
And actually, this band sounded way different when it first started. It was more like, if you can believe it, it was more like kind of like Erasure or Pet Shop Boys or something.
Really?
Yeah, it was like real kind of like bright, like kind of disco, or like, what do you call it, just like 80s kind of pop like that.
Who hurt you? When did you get sad?
That's true, because then it was like, that was happening, then the sound just kept getting mellower and mellower. But I thought, you know what, let me like base the sound off like just all my really like true favorite music. And a lot of that music ends up being, you know, just the more kind of mellow romantic music. So it'd be like Chet Baker, Francois Hardy, Mazzy Star, you know, like even like a Neil Young ballad like Harvest Moon or something. So I was like, all right, just like kind of base the sound on that, and that'll kind of be the direction to go in.
You did a cover of REO Speedwagon.
That's true.
Keep on Loving You, which I love your version, but not theirs. You actually made it listenable.
That's great.
I also heard you were a fan of the Smiths. True.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like the Smiths is my favorite. My two favorite bands are The Doors and The Smiths, but The Smiths is like really speaks to how like the artwork all looks. Like it's like the Smiths have a very unified, like you can just like identify their albums like really quickly, just like all the photos that Morrissey used. And with Cigarettes, I'm like, I want that same thing where you just immediately know it's us.
Would you do a cover of a Smith song?
Yeah, for sure. It's hard to cover them because they're so perfect. So
yeah.
It's like one of those bands like covering the Beatles or something because it's so kind of perfect. But nothing came to mind about like... Actually, I would cover Girlfriend in a Coma, maybe, is one I could think of.
That'd be so cool. Girlfriend in a Coma. I would love that.
Maybe you'll see that.
All right, you have a new song that we're going to debut in a second. Mm-hmm. And is this a new album coming or just a new standalone song or what?
We have a new record in the works. This is it's a new standalone song that's kind of... from the sessions of our last record, X's. So it's kind of in that, more of that vibe.
All right. We're going to take a break, and we will be right back with Cigarettes After Sex and a brand new song for the 420 Catch of the Day.
K-Rock's 420.
Catch of the Day.
A monster catch of the day.
We're a tiny bit early for the 420 Catch of the Day, but that's all right. We have Cigarettes After Sex in the studio with us, Greg and Randall. I did have a couple of more true or false questions. One is, you recorded your first song in a stairwell at your college.
That's kind of true. It's like the first EP was done. The first like EP that's out, with, like it's just called One. That was done in a stairway at my college.
Just because of the acoustics?
Yeah, like I would just walk through that like stairway like when I was going to class, and I was like, yeah, like I'm new.
This is great.
Get inside here and do a record. For sure.
And true or false, a lot of people are surprised you're a guy singer.
That's very true. It's like probably might be the number one thing I get.
Is that right?
Maybe, yeah. Like, or people, when we like meet them backstage, they'll like what you were saying earlier, where they're like, wait.
Oops, sorry. Yeah. My bad. Well, I don't know how to do this. Hold, please. I started the song and I didn't want to.
That was.
So give me a second. So
play
I
play twice.
Okay. I'll play it at the same time.
Yeah.
Tell us about this song.
Yeah, so this song, like I said, was from the X's sessions, like that last record we did. And it's just kind of a holdover that we couldn't finish until now. It took a long time to do. But, you know, it's like many of our songs are kind of true stories about romances, and this one has details from a romance that I had during that time. And it's a very L.A. song. It's just full of, you know, Cinerama Dome is in there, and Standard West, you know, stuff like that.
And what's the name of it? You want to introduce it for the 420 Catch of the Day?
Sure. This is our new single, Cigarettes After Sex. This is Twizzler. And it's coming out at midnight tonight in L.A. time.
That is brand new Cigarettes After Sex, a band that I love. And that voice is this voice.
That's true. If you can believe it.
That's singer-songwriter Greg Gonzalez and bass player Randall are in the studio. That song is fantastic. I love it.
Thank you, Greg.
Brand new stuff from Cigarettes After Sex. Thank you guys for coming in. We appreciate it.
For sure. Thanks.
Very cool. It is world-famous K-Rock. We have story time coming up next. And for you, we have tickets for the Smashing Pumpkins at the Forum November 12th. It's coming up next on K-Rock. Guys, remember when I screwed up that interview about a half hour ago? Yeah. My finger hit the mouse wrong, and it started the song before I was ready. And you can't just stop and restart a song. You actually have to use a mouse and type in the name of the song and search for it and insert it. And that took me about a half hour to do, so that was great. We have tickets for you to see Smashing Pumpkins at the Forum on November 12th for the best call right now. I'm going to give you the topic. I was talking to Sluggo earlier today, and he showed me a picture of himself in... kindergarten or first grade, I don't remember exactly which, but he was wearing glasses and he doesn't wear glasses. So I was like, what? Did you have to wear glasses? And he said, no, I saw all the smart kids had glasses, so I got myself some so people would think I was smart. And apparently he actually got sort of real glasses and they gave him a headache, so he had to take them off. But he put them on just for to make himself look better. Make himself look like a smarter person. And that is the topic today. Things you did to make yourself look better. Temporary things most of the time. Mine was Little League when I was sitting the bench and I had the white baseball pants on and I didn't play in the game, but I didn't want to go home with a bright, shiny baseball uniform. So I took dirt and I rubbed it all over my pants to make it look like I, you know, I got into the action. I slid head first or whatever. However you get that done on your pants. And I just did that, I don't know, maybe a whole season. I just sat on the bench and rubbed dirt on my pants. That was a whole year of my life. So that is what we're looking for at 800-520-1067. Things you did to make yourself look better. It could be for a date. It could be at school. It could be for any number of things. Temporary things you did to make yourself look better. 800-520-1067. It is the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. About 4 minutes from right now, we have your tickets to see. No, we don't. That's next hour. Sorry, my bad. We are taking phone calls on things you did to make yourself look better. Taking phone calls on things, temporary things you did to make yourself look better. 800-520-1067. Talking to Sluggo earlier this morning, he told me he used to wear glasses to kindergarten or first grade because the smart kids wore glasses, and he wanted to be considered a smart kid. And that reminded me of Little League. When I was sitting on the bench, I used to put dirt on my clothes after the game because I didn't want to wear my uniform back home brightly colored white so that it's obvious I didn't do anything. So I try to make it look like I did something. So we're talking about temporary things you did to make yourself look better at 800-520-1067.
So in second grade, we had a kind of an over after school party thing. And the contest was who had the biggest hole in the sock.
The contest is who has the biggest hole in their sock.
So I literally took my sock and I ripped a giant hole in it just so I could win a stuffed animal.
You tore your sock just to win the contest.
Absolutely. I ended up telling on myself later and totally didn't even get the prize. I felt so bad.
I love that you had a guilty conscience at that age about tearing a hole in your sock. K-Rock, hello.
I got hair extensions.
Hair extensions. All right. How long was your hair to begin with?
It was probably like just above my shoulders. And then I got the extensions and they were like down to my butt.
For a specific guy or a dance or a prom or why?
For a specific guy.
And did he like it?
He did. He did like it a lot.
That is well played, my friend. K-Rock, hello.
What's up, Kevin?
Hey there. Things you did to make yourself look better.
So a friend of mine back in the day, he was a dirt bike rider, so we'd always go out to Glen Helen. So I would dress up the part, like with the boots, the leather, the dirt bike shirt.
Right.
And walk around just, meet girls. But I didn't have a bike. I was there just to watch my friend.
So you dressed the part just so you could meet
I
girls.
Dressed the part.
Did it work?
Yeah, that was it. And it worked.
Nice. K-Rock, hello.
Hi, I got a funniest thing that I did to make myself look better.
Yep, what?
Well, I've been told that I was a little judgmental. I was kind of like, hesitant. So what I did is I made friends with all the biggest people I could find, like overweight people or very, very unattractive people. And I was just super kind to them. I made best friends with them.
Wow, what a dick move.
And that way people wouldn't think I was judgmental.
So originally you were using them to make yourself look better. Did you meet good friends that way?
Some of the best friends I've ever had are my complete polar opposite.
Fantastic. K-Rock, hello. K-Rock, hello.
Hello.
Hi there. Things you did to make yourself look better.
Shower.
Nope. K-Rock, hello. Things you did to make yourself look better.
I buried a money clip where I would put 100 in the front and I have a bunch of ones in the background.
For how long and at what age?
It was in my 20s.
That's fantastic.
I was trying to impress the ladies back then. I'm married now.
Did it impress the ladies back then?
I don't think it helped.
That is a lot of trouble to go to for it not to help. All right, 800-520-1067. Temporary things you did to make yourself look better. Sluggo used to wear glasses to make himself look smart, and I used to rub dirt on my baseball uniform to make it look like I played. And we are taking your phone calls on things you did to make yourself look better. K-Rock, hello.
Hey, Kevin, I've got it. What did I do to make myself look better?
Yep, let's hear it.
All right, so I recently went to my niece's wedding, and I wore a gown that I cannot fill out. I have no booty, no junk in my trunk. So I bought it's a fake butt that comes in Spanx. It's already installed.
What?
My husband, it's a fake butt that's in Spanx. Spanx is like shapewear.
Yeah, I didn't know that was a thing you could buy.
It's a thing, and because of that, I've earned myself the nickname Poser Ass.
Did anyone notice it at the wedding? Like, could they tell?
My family members knew, like the girls in my family knew, and now they all call me Poser Ass too.
I mean, they should. Technically, they should.
Yeah.
K-Rock, hello.
Hi there. I fake memory and hero stuff.
I don't know what that means.
I faked losing a tooth playing hockey.
Okay.
Because, like you, Kevin, I faked playing baseball and rubbing, you know, the turf.
Right, the dirt on my pants. But how do you fake losing a tooth?
Because I was playing, and then on the drive home, I was like, they barely put me in the game, and I slammed my face into the car.
Oh, ouch. On purpose?
Yeah, because I wanted to be cool in front of my brother.
Oh, my God. You slammed your face into your car to be cool. Did he buy that you were in the game and you lost a tooth in the game?
I don't think he bought it, but he didn't embarrass me.
You might be a little crazy. K-Rock, hello.
I buried a money clip where I will put 100 in the front and I have a bunch of ones in the background.
For how long and at what age?
It was in my 20s.
That's fantastic.
I was trying to impress the ladies back then. I'm married now.
Did it impress the ladies back then?
I don't think it helped.
That is a lot of trouble to go to for it not to help. All right, I need to pick a winner from everybody that's called in for the Smashing Pumpkins at the Kia Forum on November 12th. Your next chance to win is coming up at 6 o'clock. But right now, I think I have to pick Poser Ass. I think I have to pick Kelly, who bought a fake butt and wore it to a wedding. Congratulations, Kelly. Well,
that's amazing.
Well done, Callie. You got tickets to see Smashing Pumpkins at the Kia Forum on November 12th.
No way.
Yep.
No way.
Yep.
Oh, my God. That's so sick.
But you have to wear your fake butt to the show.
I swear I will. I swear.
Still have one more ticket. One more chance for you to win the tickets to Smashing Pumpkins at the Kia Forum on November 12th. And that is coming up at 6 o'clock on K-Rock.